This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me for the very first time, I am joined by both...
Liam Smart.
And Suzanne Williamson.
Now, I think it's really weird that I've got two people to talk to today. Normally, I've only got one or the other of you.
I can just sit here. That's fine with me.
No. Talk. No. You have to talk.
Well, at long last, all of us are together finally.
I know. Yay. It's weird.
We promised it a couple of episodes ago, but, you know, life happens.
So one of you got the phage, and the other got eaten by a worm in the basics planet, and then...
Wait, which was I?
You were eaten by a worm.
That figures.
Suzanne got the phage.
But I've recovered nicely.
That's right, because we called you Hogan Frueling for that episode.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Hogan Frueling?
Yeah.
Clearly, I missed something while I was gone.
That's because you didn't listen to us, obviously. Why are you not listening to us, Zach?
What, you think I'm going to listen to my own show?
Well, when you're not on it, maybe.
Well, I have to listen to it when I'm not on it because I have to edit it.
And I had to listen to myself the other day because I ran out of podcasts to listen to whilst driving to work. And now, considering I'm on the edge as well, the edge into the journey were my two most listened to shows. So now I'm like a bit lost driving around. So I'm like, oh, time to listen to myself blab on about something.
Well, for our first episode together, we thought it would be fun to initiate a new series of To The Journey episodes. We're going to stagger them. We're not going to do them in a row. But the basic idea is that we're going to rewrite Voyager into a series of 7 seasons, each of which has its own story arc, a season-long 21st century modern contemporary television story arc, much like you saw in Deep Space Nine, much like you see in Star Trek Picard, much like you see in Star Trek Discovery. But what we're going to do for each of those seasons, we're going to focus on one of the alien races from Star Trek Voyager and make the entire season story arc about that alien race. And we're going to start with season one with the Vidians.
Yes, the Vidians. I love the Vidians a lot more than what we ended up getting. The Kazon.
Yeah, who are boring. I'm not a fan of the Kazon.
Well, I'm not a fan of the Kazon, but by striking them out, we get rid of my Seska storyline.
No, but we can create a Seska storyline on the side.
A Vidian Seska storyline.
Ew.
Or just something
ew.
Else. And... Oh.
What do you mean, ew?
She's hooking up with Vidians now?
Going around harvesting organs, you know? That's one way to get Chakotay's DNA.
So... we can still create Seska a decent storyline, but Seska can exist for all 7 seasons this time.
I'm intrigued.
I can picture now Seska uses one of the little Vidian transporter zappers to beam out Chakotay's DNA.
Sperm?
I thought I was going to say swimmers.
I was going to say something else, but okay.
That sounds like a much better process than what you have to go through with IVF and IUI. I'm down for that process.
I can't comment.
Yeah.
And like that, our storyline is off and running.
Oh, wow. I feel like with this, we need to keep the overall 7-season arc that Voyager has. They end up in the Delta Quadrant, and they've got to make their way back to the Alpha Quadrant. So in that respect, we're going to keep that as the series-long arc of trying to get themselves back to the
Delta
Quadrant.
Over the same time period, like over 7 years, they end up back in the Alpha Quadrant with a big jump at the end, or maybe
not. Yeah, it depends on what we feel like. We can put them on a fast conveyor belt across the Delta Quadrant or something like that over the 7 years. But we'll see how we go.
And we can kill off people, right?
Yes, we can definitely kill off people.
Sweet.
But they can't come back in later seasons.
Unless we find a way to make them come back.
Like Q could bring someone back, or Q Jr.
Yeah, or the Krenim.
Or, have you read the book, Zach?
No.
I've been waiting for you to say that. I'm flat with you too. I have just bought 2 books.
Future Janeway could alter the timeline and bring someone
back. Yeah, exactly. That's another way of doing it.
And she could get arrested for doing so.
We could see. She could be one of the villains for the season. You never know.
Yes. Nice.
So.
Okay.
So as we're starting, I feel like we need a starting point and an end point. Like, does Voyager start with the same basic beginning as we saw in Caretaker? Caretaker happens, Voyager gets thrown in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, so...
Same beginning of the show.
Yeah, see, I feel like The Caretaker was a pretty good episode. It's quite renowned for being probably one of the best season openers of Star Trek, of all the different series.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, one of the best season openers.
Yeah, see, I feel like that's probably a pretty good way to keep Voyager moving from the Alpha Quadrant to the Delta Quadrant, and maybe just change it up a little such that maybe... when they meet the Kazon, because we're still going to keep the Kazon. We're not just going to ignore the fact that they're there, I think.
That was my very next question. Do they interact with the Kazon first, yes, or do they encounter the Vidians the second they get there?
I've been having a think about this before we actually started recording, and I feel like we should keep the Kazon for the first little bit, in that most of the stuff in Caretaker happens exactly the same way, and the storyline of the Kazon with the Trabe stays the exact same way.
See, you're more conservative than I am. I was actually thinking, like, the Vidians were harvesting the Ocampa's organs something to that effect.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
That's a pretty grisly first episode. That's, like, Picard grisly worthiness.
Do we want to start off super grisly, though?
No, I want to get to know everybody.
All right, so let's say we get to know everybody just like we do in Caretaker. But just in that episode, somewhere along the lines, we hear the Kazon talking about how scary the Vidians are. We don't know anything about the Vidians. We just know that they exist as a species that the Kazon are scared of.
Kind of like the way the Ferengi were described in the first few episodes of TNG, right? Oh, the Ferengi, they're super
scary. Their whips.
Yeah, no, before we even saw them. Like, they just talked about them. Like, we're going to call the Ferengi if you don't give us what we want.
I also feel like in the first episode as well, in Caretaker, when we meet Neelix, he's not necessarily the happy trader guy that he is, and that we find out about the Metreon Cascade in Caretaker straight away.
Nice. Okay. So we see that he has a dark past.
So yeah, he has some kind of dark past, but obviously I don't want to change that it was done by the Harkonians.
Okay.
I kind of want to keep that, but we don't know why the Metreon Cascade occurred, because Neelix is so shook up about it and doesn't want to talk about it. But we know that, I mean, as creators of this little mini-series, we know that that could be about the Vidians.
Okay.
What do you think?
So just to be clear, we don't see the Vidians in the first episode.
No. I feel like as Suzanne said, I feel like we need to make ourselves comfortable and know what the crew are, but we know that there's a big scary Vidian alien that we don't know about yet.
They're the boogeyman.
Which is really what Voyager needed. Like, they tried to invent these new races, the Kazon, the Vidians, and then I always got the sense like these races were supposed to be scarier and worse than they were, and they just fell a little flat in the first couple seasons of Voyager for me. I don't know if you guys feel
I agree.
Like, the Vidians should have been scary, and the Kazon should have been more menacing.
I think the Kazon, they were meant to be gang culture, weren't they? And they, mm-hmm, they yeah. really failed at doing that. So, and definitely the Vidian should have been much more scary. And I reckon we can make them really scary, especially with looking at 2020 television and what we've seen in the first few episodes of Picard.
You would see some organs being harvested. They wouldn't just talk about it.
Oh, definitely. That'd be great. Some American Horror Story style things.
Ah, nice. As long as there's nobody in like a black latex suit, I'm cool.
Mm.
Wait, you want there not to be someone in a latex suit?
Well, he mentioned American Horror Story, so that made me think black latex suit. I'm like, no, I don't want anybody in a black latex suit.
Okay, so I'll definitely write that down. No black latex. Okay. So what I kind of wanted to do throughout this was sort of not necessarily destroy all of what we've seen in Voyager, because there are some good episodes that appear throughout season one.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly, I feel Eye of the Needle, because we still obviously need to keep the fact that they're trying to make the way home. And I don't want to have it just one really depressingly slow series like a certain new series that's come out. So I want to have some kind of little episodes that aren't necessarily fully connected to the storyline, which leads me to say that I want to somewhere, just separate from what I've said so far, can we please keep Eye of the Needle as an episode?
Intact. Because it's not really related to anything else going on in the Delta Quadrant. It really is a standalone one-off episode.
Correct, yeah.
I have to say, this is something I really miss about modern television. I like these one-off standalone episodes that aren't related to anything else, these bottle episodes. Mm. I wish they would carve out a little wiggle room inside modern Star Trek to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, along those lines, I would like to keep the cloud.
Really?
Yeah.
Why the cloud?
There's just a lot of moments in that episode that I love. There's coffee in that nebula. Neelix wants to get out and wait for them to deal with this beast. And
how about we keep those little elements than keeping the whole entire episode itself?
How about we keep the awesome quotable lines, but put them in a completely different context?
Yes.
How can there be a completely different context for There's Coffee in That Nebula?
Well,
like, maybe, this is going to sound really ridiculous, I can't believe I just thought of it. Maybe the Vidians beamed out someone's stomach, and it's got Janeway's coffee in it, and the Vidians are hiding in a nebula, and Captain Janeway is being kept alive with a holographic stomach, and her coffee in her stomach is in that nebula. There's coffee in that nebula.
That is what? The most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Seriously.
You get the gist of it, though. The spirit of it.
Oh, boy. No.
Oh, wow.
No holographic stomachs. What is that? That's stealing Neelix's holographic lungs
in the first season.
I know, but we could keep the holographic lungs and kill Neelix.
Oh, I don't want to kill Neelix right away.
Kill Neelix, keep the lungs.
Yeah.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
That is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. It's like, that's yeah, so if we could caretaker sort of almost how it is, but sort of introduce the idea of the Kazon, of the Vidians via the Kazon just sort of being fearful of them, and then sort of having Neelix mention something about the Metrion Cascade so that we know that he's dark, but we don't exactly know why the Metrion Cascade was done. He doesn't go into it, and that the Harkonians did it for war or anything like that.
Let's dive in a little bit. Mm-hmm. How do we first meet the Vidians?
Do you have any ideas, Suzanne, before I go on with my notes of what I've written down?
Other than we could just move up the episode phase to be the second episode.
That's sort of what I was thinking. Get rid of Parallax, get rid of Time and Again, mm-hmm. because Time and Again was... I didn't like that episode. And then move straight on to Phage, but instead of having the Vidians be the super bad guys that we currently know they're going to be, we can sort of keep a similar aspect of it in terms of they could potentially steal someone else's lungs or steal someone else's body part. They could steal Captain Janeway's stomach. I mean, we can put that in there if you want.
You know, okay, this is 21st century television. Don't they need to kill a character, like, right off the bat?
I do. So maybe we should... Who should we kill? Maybe we'll...
Like, right off the bat. Boom.
Hogan.
That character is verboten from the rest of Voyager.
Oh, Hogan already?
Yeah, that's how Hogan dies.
Hogan killed by the Vidians.
I was thinking a little bolder, like a character that maybe Seska. Maybe
no, we want to keep Seska.
No,
we got to
keep. No, you want to keep Seska. Okay,
you leave her alone.
Let's go down the list. Could we kill any of the main cast? Are we bold enough to do it?
What if one of those people from the caretaker? You know, like is it Stoddy? Is that her name?
The pilot.
Yeah, the one that died in caretaker. What if we kept one of those?
Or the first officer,
Cavett.
Whatever his name was.
Cavett.
I can't even remember his name.
No one remembers his
name. It was Cavett. Well,
Suzanne remembers
his name. Suzanne remembers. what if we kill him or we kill Carrie?
Or the annoying doctor that...
No one touches Joe.
No. Oh, all right. Suzanne's put her foot down. Wait,
no, not that doctor. The original doctor.
No, he said Carrie. And I said, no one touches Joe.
Oh, Joe Carey. I thought you meant Joe Van Gogh.
No.
All right. So, but do we want to see the doctor in caretaker? Like the EMH?
Yes.
Yes. You got to introduce all the names.
All right. Yeah. So how about then we keep Cabot, whatever his name was, the first officer, and he can make his way into Phage and be killed in Phage.
And what is Chakotay doing while this is going on?
He's just hanging out.
Just hanging out. Eating a sandwich.
He can still be the sort of leader of the Marquis, but maybe like third officer or something like that.
Okay, actually, this is a really good point. What if we don't unify the crews quite as easily? Like, we have to build up to that a little bit.
And which, if Cavett was still alive, he would not have been for uniting the crews.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Let's do that. So we're not going to unite the crew.
At least not at first. Like, we got to wait a couple episodes. Or even till the end of this first season, conceivably.
So, all right, let's go and kill him. He can just have a bigger part in caretaker then, so then we can kill him off in episode 2, which will be meeting the Vidians. So what are they going to steal from him? How are they going to kill him? Ripping the skin off of his face, literally, whilst he's still alive.
Are they stealing an internal organ or an external organ?
I'm thinking
they're going for multiple things. They're not like a one and done.
They literally dismember him.
Actually,
not
yes.
with their fancy dance, fancy schmancy transporter thing. You're talking about like literally like slicing and dicing this dude.
Laser scalpel.
Yeah, we're gonna ditch the whole steel with a, you know, fancy laser, whatever it's called.
Which was a cool idea at the time. Mm-hmm. That was pretty innovative.
It was, but it's not going to make it gory and, you know, I suppose it is still scary, isn't it?
So these are like old school Vidians.
Yes, maybe these are the old school Vidians that they've come across. All right, cool. Old school Vidians have killed Cavett by taking out some internal organs whilst he's still alive. But I reckon for the point of the whole season arc, they find that there's something within human or Alpha Quadrant species that is slightly different and lasts a lot longer and is somewhat slightly resistant to the phage. Not fully resistant, but somewhat resistant.
Or they just like the way we looked.
Yeah. what fancy and nice liver you have. Yeah, okay, that works. If we got Cavett being killed in that episode and we've met the Vidians for the first time, but they're old school Vidians, so they're not really, we don't really know too much still about the Vidians, that Neelix then brings up the Metreon Cascade and it turns out that the Harkonians were trying to get rid of the Vidians in Talaxian space.
Okay, what if we go full on Silence of the Lambs and the main Vidian bad guy character for the entire season is wearing Cavett's face?
Oh, yes! I love it. And his name can be Sulan, which is the doctor from Faces.
Yes. So, Suzanne, are you on board with the Cavett face-stealing concept?
Well, sure, because that was sort of done anyway in Faces.
Yeah.
It would be not a callback. Yeah.
So we're just using sort of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And running with it, big time.
Exactly.
So that could be... Can we make him the guy who stole the other face of that dude in Faces? Same character?
Well, he wasn't in charge.
No, but maybe he's not necessarily in charge, but he could be in charge of what we call old school Vidians. the ones without the fancy organ transporter.
The ones who can't afford the fancy equipment. So that's different class of Vidians.
Yeah, why not? It gives them a little bit more culture than, you know, monoculture.
Yeah, these are like 19th century Frankenstein Vidians.
I was just thinking upper class have the fancy weapons.
Have the tools.
The middle class has to, you know, use their laser scalpels.
Yeah, because everyone's got to try and steal their own organs in the end, haven't they? Because they've got to survive and get through the phage.
Yeah.
So this is like people who can afford iPhones and people who still have flip phones.
Exactly.
Okay.
Do we agree on Neelix and the Metron Cascade trying to eradicate the Vidians from Rhynax?
Makes sense to me.
What is this darkness that Neelix is carrying around? What's the deal? Where's this going?
He lost his family on Rhynax still. But the reason was because of the Vidians and the Harkonians trying to stop them. Because this, in our world, maybe the Harkonians and the Talaxians were actually getting on.
And so Neelix has it out for the Vidians.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you?
Sure.
But then we could have at some point throughout the season, Neelix coming across a Vidian female with his sister's face on it.
Oh.
Wow, that's a deliciously terrible idea.
And he has to kill her. I like that. That's scary.
Yeah, I like
that. We're getting really dark, aren't we?
Wow, this is really dark.
Except we'll need to see a picture of his sister before that happens.
So yeah, so we can knows, see that.
Yeah.
It's like, we can see that in Fage.
So it's
Alexia,
a big reveal.
It's Alexia!
Yes. Yeah, and then that means we get rid of that episode where he thinks he can find Alexia by the tree or something.
Oh, yeah, I don't like the tree.
Yeah. So that's scary. So in the meantime, so this episode isn't necessarily, I reckon, seeing the full Vidians in this episode. I reckon we just need to learn a little bit more. And I did have this idea that what if we saw at the beginning of an episode a big fight between the Kazon R'Lura and the Kazon Ogla with the Vidians. And the Kazon and the R'Lura being utterly destroyed. The Ogla and the R'Lura sex utterly destroyed.
What if we actually put a big twist on the Kazon, and maybe the Kazon have already banded together and they become Voyager's allies against the Vidians rather than enemies?
Totally
recast.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to go for. So have like the sects, all the sexes all joined together and actually be on the side of Voyager in the end. But the two strongest sects, the R'Lura and the Ogla, wiped out by the Vidians. So then we've only got like the Nistrum, the Mistral, the Oglamar, and then those come together. Oh, and what about this? What about if... Well, that way we can still have Marge Color as well.
Yeah, you have to have Marge Color.
Yeah, so we can keep Marge Color. But what if, so the R'Lura and the Ogla, they lost all their vast ships, but the Vidians repurposed them for giant organ transport ships. Like giant ships with like liver section and...
I'm working the liver section today.
Or this is the liver ship, and that's the stomach ship, and that's the spleen ship, and that's the...
This is the VSS liver.
Somewhere there's a tiny little appendix ship out there.
There's a tiny shuttlecraft.
the appendix shuttlecraft. Oh.
You hear in the background, they've destroyed the ship of the hearts. That's kind of gross.
So it sounds like this episode with Neelix's sister's face has to come towards the end
definitely.
Of the season, like a ways in. It's got to be a big reveal later in the season, right? Okay. You can't front load that kind of thing.
See, some of the episodes I feel like we can delete out of, you know how I'm saying we keep the eye of the needle just because you got the overall 7-season arc of getting home. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can pretty much delete Ex Post Facto, Emanations, Prime Factors, Heroes and Demons, Cathexis, maybe Learning Curve. Yeah. I do feel like we need to keep some ideas from State of Flux and keep Seska as a Cardassian. But in this case, we don't know. She's not going to be joining the Kazon and... Maybe not.
No, she has to join the Vidians.
Do you reckon she should join the Vidians? Because if we want to keep...
Yes!
If we want to keep her through 7 seasons and being something else, we kind of want her to go out on her own maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want her joining the Vidians.
Yeah, I don't...
Okay, I could be convinced, but...
I'm not sure I want the...
What if a different character joined the Vidians? What if it was a surprise reveal for a different character?
Oh, okay. Who would you have?
Not Seska, but someone else.
Who would you have do that?
Harry Kim.
Harry Kim is a Cardassian in disguise.
All right, cool. Yeah, actually, because then we could keep Seska's sass for the bridge, and we can get rid of Harry boring Kim.
Which works well on the bridge, actually. Yeah, much needed.
Cool, I like it.
But why would he join the Vidians is the big question.
And when does he join the Vidians?
And whose DNA does he want to steal?
No one's.
What if he... Okay, this is a little out there. Hard. What if he steals Captain Janeway's eggs?
Why?
For the same reason Seska does.
Well, no, because Seska had a past with Chakotay. They were a couple. Harry and Captain Janeway were never a couple.
Okay, you're right. What if it was... Well, what other characters could we use for that purpose?
Nobody. We don't have to have that.
Okay, you're saying drop that whole angle. While we're making changes, I wouldn't mind seeing the Delaney sisters get a bigger role.
Of course you wouldn't.
On the bridge.
Doing what on the bridge? There's a limited space on the bridge.
Pushing buttons on the bridge.
Chakotay needs that job.
That's Chakotay's job.
Why would Harry Kim join the Vidians? He's a Cardassian, right?
And he thinks Voyager's going to be destroyed. And they don't stand a chance against the Vidians.
Okay.
So he jumps ship.
He's an opportunist.
I mean, that's pretty much easy. So yeah, I mean, he is a Cardassian now because we've made him the Cardassian and we've made Seska can remain Bajoran. A sassy Bajoran at that.
He's Harry Kim Kardashian.
Oh, wow.
He's jumped ship maybe halfway through season. So maybe halfway through season, then he jumps ship to the Vidians because he can't see himself getting there. I can't see Voyager winning. Okay, that makes sense. What are we going to do? Are we going to just make Voyager try and make their way through Vidian space without being killed? Is that going to be their overall driver? Because at the end of the day, they're trying to get home, aren't they? So
yes.
I suppose we don't have to have any ridiculous high stakes of got to save the universe and that kind of thing.
No, they just got to get through the space and get home. Yep.
Okay, yep. No, that's cool. I like that. I like the idea of the Kazon, the smaller sects now being aligned with Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
Do we keep the harvested organ ships?
Yes.
What if some point we get a little bit further on and they've actually, the Vidians, they've had a battle and they've stolen some of the crew and they've transported some of the Voyager crew to the organ ships.
So kind of like Faces?
Yeah, kind of like Faces in that way, and then we can see them still potentially operating on B'Elanna, because that is a really good episode where we get to know a lot of B'Elanna's Klingon side and human side, so I still like we need to fill and keep some of those.
Rather than integrating the crews right off the bat, what if either all of the Voyager crew or all of the Maquis ended up on one of those ships?
Well, no, because by this point...
Well, at least for a while.
By this point, they would have put Chakotay as first officer, because Kavat is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So if we keep the fact that Chakotay will be made first officer come the end of episode 2, but there's still a lot of discord between the two groups of people, the Maquis and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need much more Maquis Starfleet tension.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever that is, we can keep that. So maybe they steal all the Maquis crew. Let's just say that the Maquis have gone out for whatever reason and they've gone off and been stolen by them. And then we have to have a couple of episodes of them trying to get the crew back from the specific organ ships.
Sounds plausible.
So I kind of want to have an episode where they're on the ship and they can see all these organs. It's just gruesome and like bodies hanging up and...
Like Hostel?
I don't know what that is.
Yes.
It's a gory movie where at one point you see like the cart being pushed through and body parts are like hanging off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly like that. That sounds good. And anyone who's had an issue potentially with the goriness of Picard.
Or like when we see the dismembered Borg, but, you know, with more Vidian themed.
Yeah. And then we could lose a few members. We could lose maybe Ayala.
Oh, he never got to say a word.
But maybe that's one of like the big tensions of like two or three episodes. Kind of like how Discovery was in the Mirror Universe. They got to try and get these people off of the organ ships.
So I feel like we've developed a lot of new directions. But I feel like we're stuck. Like, something big needs to happen in the middle of the season to keep the narrative moving forward.
Yeah, that's why I want them on the organ ship. Unless that's not big enough. What would be big enough for you?
I don't think Neelix's sister's face reveal is big enough. And you think bigger.
No, I like that reveal.
No, I like it. No, I'm not saying we don't keep that. I just think that's not enough to drive the season forward.
That can come at the end, in the season finale, maybe.
That's, yeah, sure, that'd be good. Although I love the season finale of season one in Voyager.
What, Learning Curve?
Learning Curve?
Learning Curve. I love that episode,
no,
personally.
That's not a season finale.
I love the episode. No, it's a standalone episode, but I love it. I'd want to keep that as a standalone episode.
If no, once the crew's all on board. No.
That's no. Why? Are you insane? What?
I love that episode. What are you talking about?
You can choose two things from that episode that you can keep. Go for it.
Neelix telling Tuvok that he needs to bend more.
He needs to what more?
Bend more.
Oh, bend.
Be more flexible.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, you can have that. For whatever reason, that's fine. And what's your other one? Chakotay punching people in the face?
That's it.
Nah. Yeah, Chakotay punching people. We need more Chakotay punching people in general. Yeah.
All right.
Can we just have more of that?
No. So Chakotay is now some kind of boxer for more than one episode.
He's just a hands-on disciplinarian. That's all.
Yeah. He's got anger management issues as well.
Yes.
Oh, and then we can have him punch Cavett Vidian in the face.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, boy, how cathartic would that be? Because Cavett didn't like Chakotay, wanted him off the ship, wanted to put him in the brig, whatever. And eventually Chakotay just gets to sock him in the face, except it's not really him, but he still wants to punch his face.
I love that. That's mm-hmm. That's a season like finale thing as well. It's like, I've been waiting all season to do this. All right. So if we're on the organ ship, they lose a lot of people on that. They come back. What can we do in the latter half of the season before the season finale?
Well, if we're going with contemporary television, it has to be all about the Vidians, right? It's got to be a Vidian arc through and through.
Mm-hmm.
Can't deviate from that too much. So what's happening with the Vidians?
Do we bring in Dr. Pell? Do we run across a random Vidian?
Oh, yeah.
If we get rid of the Vidian threat at the end of season one, which I'm planning, I do want to have some form of deadlock reference in there. But yeah, maybe have Dr. Pell come in and be like, she's sick of having to chop people up and take all their organs just for them to live on. It's no way to live.
She should join the crew.
She joins the crew.
Permanently.
Correct.
Yes.
I love Dr. Pell.
I was thinking, like, maybe in lieu of Kes or alongside Kes, like, be the doctor's assistant, be a co-doctor in sickbay. I don't know. She needs to be in sickbay, obviously. She's a doctor.
Yeah, I think Dr. Pell can be in sickbay, because at what point does Kes start working in sickbay? It's pretty much straight away, isn't it?
Pretty early, yeah.
Maybe instead Kes doesn't actually go quite well at the medical aspect. Maybe she's just not suited for that.
She sticks to hydroponics.
Yeah, she can stick to hydroponics, but the doctor also sees maybe some form of...
therapist? A counselor. A ship's counselor.
Oh, yeah. If Chakotay's got an anger management problem, they need a counselor. Kes is the ship's counselor, yes, to talk Chakotay off the anger management.
And her office can be her hydroponics bay, which is beautifully decorated in the same way that Saru's garden in Discovery is.
Yes. Nice.
And she can have a flower in her hair.
Soothing,
like a
soothing green office, yeah. And they call it the green room.
The green room. Yes.
No.
Yeah, no.
Green room is where actors wait before their performance. That's the green room.
It's where they calm down. That's why it's green.
But green with flowers. No, I'm overruling you, Suzanne.
Ugh. Boo.
I like the idea of Kes having to counsel Chakotay because of his anger management issues, and he keeps punching people. That's just what a fun B plot that would be.
I mean, there are also lots of B and D and F plots that we can have in that.
We just bring a little lightheartedness to this relatively heavy season we're coming up with.
Let's just recap quickly what's happening with the people. Janeway is captain, so that's
yes.
Cool. Chakotay wasn't first officer at the beginning because of Cavett, but he becomes first officer, but he's still leader of the Marquis and there's lots of tension.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tuvok is just being Tuvok.
He's doing his thing.
Just balconing around. Paris is flying the ship. Sure.
Somebody has to.
B'Elanna maybe can have some issues because she was split up. Maybe there's a bit of issues there still. That she was split between a Klingon and human side in what's the equivalent of our episode of Faces, but she has issues and that she can't quite resolve them still. The Doctor is still a grumpy boy. Mm-hmm. Should we make him grumpy still?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Kes has become a flowery hippie psychologist in the green room.
A flowery hippie psychologist. I love it.
And who else am I missing?
Neelix.
Neelix is having a lot of psychological issues, and that's why he goes to Kes. But Kes isn't his...
He is no longer the morale officer.
No. Also, Kes is not his boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever relationship they have. They're not together. They're just friends.
Okay.
Seska.
Seska is our operations person.
On the bridge.
On the bridge.
Yep.
Yep. And...
Full of snark.
Full of snark, yep. And Kim is off with the Vidians.
Being Cardassian.
Yep, okay, cool. So that's where we are with those. And then Dr. Pell is now the assistant, a ship's doctor person.
And the Delaney sisters are on the bridge.
Oh, do we have
you
to?
You can't fit them on the bridge. The bridge is small.
Wait, so who's got Harry's position?
Seska.
Seska.
Seska. Seska is ops. Okay, that's
Seska's
right.
Seska's ops. Everyone else is in the same position. The Delaney sisters could be, I don't know, I don't really want a yeoman.
Yeoman? What is this, 1960?
Yeah. What if they have some other powerful position? Maybe they can be take Neelix's role that was in the kitchen, unless we can leave Neelix in the kitchen.
Wait, hold on. Let me just get this straight. So the Delaney sisters are now the chefs.
They're running the mess hall.
They're running the mess hall.
Yeah. So Neelix, and what is Neelix doing then? What can we give Neelix to do? Because I know
transporter
he's
chief.
Messed up. Yeah, he can just be transporter chief. That would do. Yeah, because he can, like, anytime someone comes, he can be like, greetings! Good to meet you!
Good to meet you! I should say that all the time. Good to meet you!
If he's brooding, he's not going to be so happy with the greetings.
Yeah, okay. Maybe he can just be the really, really grumpy.
He can be the disgruntled transporter chief, like, you know, like a less smiley Chief O'Brien.
Yeah! Yeah, okay. We'll deal with that. He can be there.
Okay, so hanging out by himself in a transporter room all day sounds about right.
Yeah, because he's really messed up from that. Because he was on Rhynax. He wasn't in space, he was on Rhynax and managed to somehow shield himself because he was in a cave or something.
So he has survivor's guilt.
Yeah, he has survivor's guilt. So Dr. Pell's on the ship. She's had enough of all of the issues that the Kazon are doing. Does that...
The real Dr. Pell or the holographic Dr. Pell? Which one are we going
for? No, the real Dr. Pell.
We didn't create a holographic one.
Nope, we're going for the real Dr. Pell.
That's true,
the
not yet, I guess.
The actual Dr. Pell.
Okay.
Okay, so we can probably move on to the season finale then, shall we?
This is a very different version of Voyager. I like it.
I'm enjoying it.
And I'm not criticizing Voyager. I love Voyager, but it needed a little more tension.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So where in this season, before we get to the season finale, are we going to have the coffee in that nebula statement?
Well, we need to see the energy reserves are going low from all these different battles with the Vidians. So we're losing energy.
Towards the end of the season.
Yeah, so towards the end of the season, yeah, the energy reserves are going down and we need to go to some form of planet to try and get whatever they need to get, or they find stuff in a nebula, and that's where Janeway can be like, there's coffee in that nebula.
Yes.
Yep, and the Delaney sisters are the ones that give her the terrible coffee this time.
Yeah, so if we're going to lose all of Neelix's, like, weird cooking gags, what do the Delaney sisters do instead to fill up
Maybe
that,
they can just be terrible at cooking.
Left by
Yeah, they could be terrible cooks.
Okay, so they're just terrible.
Maybe they can be our comedy characters. They are twins.
Sure, I could see that completely.
Like, they burn stuff.
So everything they make is just terrible. Not even weird, like Neelix is weird, but, like, just
terrible.
Bad cooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, people actually gruel before they want their food.
But everyone else has a job on the ship. Why would they leave their jobs they already have on Voyager to cook in the mess hall?
Because there were Maquis that were better at them. The Maquis that came over were better at the jobs that the Delaney sisters had.
So they were made redundant.
So they're just not very good Starfleet officers.
Yeah, maybe they should never have been on the ship. Maybe they were, instead of the ranks that they are, maybe they're like the cadets on work experience.
Yeah.
And that because everyone had to pick up some slack, they said, fine, oh, we'll run the mess hall. Because they want some form of responsibility, but they're just not very good at it.
So I feel like we're doing them a huge disservice, but I can live with it.
Well, you're going to get them in the series, so you just be happy with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Beggars can't be choosers. Got it.
All right, cool. So, the finale. I just want to say that I really feel like we should do something very similar with Deadlock, because Deadlock was one of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fundamental choice probably needs to be, do we wrap up the Vidian storyline altogether and then move on to the next alien race? Or are we setting up some dramatic cliffhanger with the Vidians to get us into season two?
I'm happy either way. What would you want to do?
I'm a fan of cliffhangers.
Okay, we'll cliffhanger it then. So can somebody remind me what happened at the beginning of Deadlock? Why did they become out of phase? You got one ship that's slightly out of phase, and for whatever science reason that they come up with in the episode when they write it, because we're not writing, we're just the brains trust of the situation.
They said a spatial scission causes Voyager to be duplicated. Okay. So it could even be happenstance that this happens, and they're like, "Woo!"
I like that. So what if that just happens to us, come across a spatial scission, and then it splits the ship into two, and that's the way that they end up not... or having some form of fighting chance, because they've got like 100 Vidian ships after them and followed closely by the VSS Liver and the VSS Gallbladder.
Okay, what if we pull a similar kind of trick where maybe this is pushing it a bit too much, but maybe the real Captain Janeway dies and duplicate Captain Janeway has to take over the ship and, you know, weird stuff happens, it's part of the job.
Yes, dead Janeway. Because we've lost Kim.
Mm-hmm.
So right. We can put dead Janeway. Yeah, let's do that.
And it's all fine because of the Voyager reset button, which we still keep to some extent.
Oh, we've got to keep the reset button.
No,
we've got to keep a Captain Janeway. We don't want to kill Captain Janeway straight away.
Well, but no, we can kill her. But that's not really a reset.
Well, no, true.
So one Captain Janeway dies and the other Captain Janeway has to take over and everything's fine.
Because there can be only one.
There can be only one.
And it ends in the very much the same way as Deadlock does, with the other ship exploding and taking out all of the Vidian ships. But also, we've got to have the Kays on this. What if all the Kays on ships have gone into the spatial scission as well?
And they've been duplicated.
Yeah, or is that a bit too much? That might be a little bit too much.
That's a bit much. It's very complicated.
What if Voyager then destroys everything, including the Kazon ships? What if they destroy the Vidian and the Kazon ships? The Mistral ships and the Oglomar ships, and all of them are gone. And they'll be very much in line with Janeway destroying things and making bad decisions, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're just ditching the Kazon altogether?
Yeah, because I don't like the
Kazon. Well, we killed them. Yeah.
We killed the Allura and the Ogla.
There's really no ditching.
All Kazon everywhere, gone.
Except for Marge Culler, who is on Voyager.
Who somehow stays on board.
Okay.
Ooh. I always like the idea of Voyager picking up more stragglers from the Delta Quadrant.
So we've got Pell, and now we can have Marge Culler at the end, and then...
Oh,
yes.
He's going to be
that
mad.
That should be the thing. Every time we encounter an alien race, someone has to join the crew.
Indeed.
Well, to replace the people we're killing off,
Right, or just because,
What do you think of that as a season finale? Does that work?
Yeah.
Can we please see an organ harvest ship explode and all these organs are just like flying out into space?
You want to see
that? Yeah, of course I do.
Are some of them hitting Voyager?
Yeah, I was picturing I had some weird image like that in mind too.
Like on the view screen, splat. There's a lung.
Right, I was thinking like against the camera or something. Right.
But we haven't dealt with Lexia. Haven't dealt with Lexia yet.
Oh, yeah, Lexia.
Where is she in our season finale? Is she on board one of the main Harvest ships as captain of the Harvest ship? Or Lexia faced along with... she could be Cavett's first officer. Or Cavett Vidian's first officer.
Okay.
And is that the big reveal to end the season, or what?
I mean, Chakotay's punching him at some point in this episode, so we're going to have the crew over on one of the ships in...
And then get back to...
And get back to Voyager somehow.
Yeah.
what does this do to Neelix? Does this make him worse, or does this make him, is this cathartic and makes him get better in season two?
Now, is this before the ship is split that they're over on the Vidian ships?
This is before the ship is split.
Okay.
But they've somehow gone over sort of stealthily to try and destroy them, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And that Neelix is part of them because he hates the Vidians. And Chakotay's there because he's the first officer. And then a whole bunch of other, you know, shoot 'em up red shirts or something. And what if Chakotay comes across Cabot and punches them when they get into the bridge of the ship?
Mm-hmm.
But when Neelix follows in, he realizes that, oh my god, that Vidian has Lexia's face. And okay, that will be the reveal. Do you want that to be real, or do you want that to be a cliffhanger? No, I don't. Do we want a cliffhanger, or do we want to go in? Oh, I'm not sure I want a cliffhanger.
I was going to say, if we're blowing up everybody, then there's no cliffhanger.
Well, I mean, there's no cliffhanger in Discovery, really, is there?
There is now.
Yeah, especially now. They're like, okay, now they're in the future.
No, I suppose that is a cliffhanger, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. What we'll do then, how about we end season one of Neelix and Chakotay walking into the ship, organ transplant bridge, sees mm-hmm. Cabot, but then Neelix sees Lexia the Vidian.
Okay.
And then we end season one there, and then season two, episode one, is all the destruction of it.
Is all the deadlocks.
Of all the deadlock. Okay. Somehow managed to go into a spatial scission, blah, blah, blah.
Do we need to figure out at this point who the next alien race for season two is going to be, or do we just punt that to the next
one? Punt that to the next one.
Yeah.
We can choose an episode as filler for season two, episode two, and then...
Mm-hmm. A little recovery time, get the ship back in shape.
Yep.
Okay.
Make sure everyone has the right face. Yeah, okay.
Man, I feel like we've managed to write a much better season one.
Not bad. You want to give us a recap there?
Oh, my God. I knew you'd end up coming to me for this. That's why I've been trying to write things down.
There's no chance I'm going to recap everything we covered and do it justice. I think you can probably pull it off.
Star Trek Voyager Season 1 for the 21st century. So we're going to keep Caretaker almost as it happens, but instead we have the Kazon sort of a bit scared of the Vidians. They mention them, but we don't see them. But we also find that Neelix, who's also not a happy trader anymore, he's actually a sad character, who speaks about the Metreon Cascade, but we don't really know why it was done. Then, coming across along into episode two of the season, we meet the Vidians similar to how it happened in the Phage, but we didn't even discuss how Cavett is probably on an away mission or something, and Cavett ends up being killed, who's first officer, because the first officer stayed alive through Caretaker. He has his face stolen, and he becomes like the main Vidian scary guy for the season. We also find out that the Metreon Cascade from Neelix was actually... because the Harkonians were trying to eradicate the Vidians from Rynax, and Neelix was actually on Rynax in a cave, and he's got survivor's guilt. In next couple of episodes, there's skirmishes, I guess, with the Kazon, but realistically, they're like, we see a battle between the Kazon Melora and the Kazon Ogla, the two most powerful Kazon sects, and are destroyed by the Vidians. And then the remaining sects, the Mistrim, the Oglamar, etc., are joining Voyager in a sort of alliance against the Vidians. Somewhere along the lines, we have Harry Kim deciding to go over to the Vidians because Harry Kim is actually a Cardassian, and he's decided that there's no hope and that Voyager will be destroyed. And yes, Harry Kim goes over to the ship of the Vidians and tries helping them, at which point we find that the Kazon ships have turned into harvested organ ships for the Vidians that are flying around with like livers and hearts and legs or something in them. And Seska then moves into the ops position, who is still a Bajoran. She's no longer the double agent, but she's a sassy Bajoran. In the meantime, Captain Janeway is just captaining along, as well as Tuvok. He hasn't had any character change, the same as Paris. But during that time that the crew spend on, or the Marquis crew spend on the organ ships, they've managed to split up B'Elanna just like they did in Faces, and she's having trouble. At that point, Dinara Pell joins the ship and decides that she doesn't actually like the way the Vidians are practicing anymore. She's sick and tired of taking people's organs out, and she starts to work with the doctor. The doctor's kicked Kes out of sick bay and made her the ship's counselor in a flowery hydroponics bay, which is now known as the green room. Oh, the Delaney sisters are also the chefs of the ship, but they're not very good at what they do, and they make terrible food, whilst Neelix is resigned to wallow by himself in the transporter room because he's got such depressing past. Then coming along towards the season finale, so all the Vidian ships and the Organ ships come and attack the Voyager and the Kazon sect alliances that they've got, and Chakotay leads a mission over to the main Organ ship to find out that the Vidian, who with Cabot's face on it, is the captain of the ship, and he manages to get in a fist fight of them, and they Chakotay, who's the new punchy Chakotay, punches him in the face. In the meantime,
which is what Neelix does.
Gets to the bridge and realizes that the first officer of the ship is a Vidian that stole his sister Alexia's face. And that is the end of season one. And in season two, Voyager goes into a spatial scission, much like in Deadlock, and it just happens that that's the case, and then manages to destroy all of the Vidian ships whilst in this spatial scission. But Janeway also dies, and all the Kazon ships are destroyed as well.
And that is season one of the new 21st century Star Trek Voyager. Well, guys, it's been fun talking about the new 21st century Star Trek Voyager with Punching Chakotay. But this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, to the journey!
If I were writing Voyager right now, like reconceiving it, I would make each season like a different decade, like show the progression of time over 70 years.
See, we could have just done that with Kes as a character, though. I know I said it probably a million times in the last five episodes. Kes could have shown us what that would have been. Within the 7-year period. So, you know, we all know my opinions on Kes and how much I liked the character.
Earl Grey.
Okay, Amy, your ice pick.
What is that number?
Amy to the nth power pick.
I imagine it at the square root of minus one.
Negative one, yeah. Mm. Okay. Yeah,
literary treks.
You know, there's all this backstory as you're starting to learn in the show about what happened between Nemesis and the Picard show. And so there was all this backstory. You couldn't really show it all in the show. You don't want to. The show's about what's going on in the present time of the show. But, you know, Star Trek, since its origin, has always had ancillary materials that flesh out these stories. So, and we knew that would be the case here.
The Line, a Star Trek Picard podcast.
99% of the time, Star Trek tech makes sense. This does not to me.
Okay, Christy, like, Star Trek has asked me to believe some pretty ludicrous things. This takes the cake.
Okay. I think so. All right, we're on the same page.
This is completely...
More than going warp 10 turns you into lizard?
More than lizard babies.
Really?
More than Spot turning into a baby lizard. This, I'm just like, what are you trying to feed me here?
That's interesting, because I believe this a lot more than those other things.
But... Yeah. Brandon Baga's evolution theories are much more believable than this.
No. Really not. But yeah.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop Apple Podcasts app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. It helps others to find our show.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, and most third-party apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode of To the Journey, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek FM and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. So, Suzanne, when you're not dodging livers from an exploding Vidian organ ship, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me occasionally popping up in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. Zach, when you're not hanging out in the mess hall trying to get some time with the Delaney sisters, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the network?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTreks, Trek FM show dedicated to Star Trek and philosophy. And you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Frewley. And how about you, Liam? When you're not relaxing in Kes's green room, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
You can find me elsewhere on Trek FM on The Edge, our Star Trek Discovery show with Brandy Jackler and Nick Collinson. You can find me on Twitter at LS74656, and you can find me on the Babel Conference now and again.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. All available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. We'd like to thank our associate producers for supporting To the Journey. They are Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your continued support of Trek FM and To the Journey.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we will be podcasting wearing each other's faces. But until then, this has been To the Journey.